Hi, this is Tom Colicchio of Kraft and Top Chef, and you're listening to Food Fridays on The Leonard Lopate Show on WNYC 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org.
Great wine may not be the first thing that comes to mind when you think of New Jersey, but over 80 varieties of grapes are being grown on more than 2,000 acres of vineyards throughout the state. New Jersey now has the seventh largest wine industry in the country, with about 50 wineries currently operating in three designated American viticultural areas. Joining us now to talk about New Jersey wines are Tom Constantino, director of the Garden State Wine Growers Association, along with vintners Cameron Stark, former winemaker at Unionville Vineyards. He's now at Ironbound Hard Cider. And Gene Ventimiglia, founder of Ventimiglia Vineyard, where he's been making award-winning wines for over 30 years. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tom, New Jersey is a relatively small, densely populated state. Where are the wineries located?
We like to say they go from the tip of Sussex County up north all the way down to Cape May, but there are really different growing regions. We have western part of New Jersey, Hunterdon County in the central part of the state, a few wineries on the Monmouth County base, and then the large contingent of our wineries go from Gloucester County and Salem County all the way into Atlantic County and Cape May.
So the south is where
south
most
is prominent,
are located.
But we have some unbelievable wineries up north.
How long has this been going on?
New Jersey's been actually making wine since colonial days, but it really has flourished as an industry since the year 2000. There's been 35 wineries that have been licensed in New Jersey since then, and a large part of it has been that the growth had not come till late in that part of the century because of Prohibition. There were a lot of vineyards in the state and vines growing everywhere in New Jersey. Newark was a prominent area for wine growing. But then came Prohibition, and what happened with Prohibition is after Prohibition ended, the laws in New Jersey basically stated that you had to open a winery and get a license, a plenary license for a winery, the population had to increase by 1 million. So basically from 1933 to 1981, there were only about 6 or 7 wineries at any given time operating.
But weren't wine grapes still grown during Prohibition because people could make wines at home? And especially immigrant communities love certain varieties.
You could grow grapes. We actually had one winery, which is now over 150 years old, Renault Winery in Egg Harbor, that made a medicinal tonic out of their wine and continued to operate. And if you go there, you can see the posters and the equipment.
Why has the quality of New Jersey wine improved? What changed in the state that allowed the industry to flourish?
I guess I can try that. I think more of the younger wineries are trying to establish quality, and they're working hard. We're working together to help them learn more than just fruit wines. I'm a grape wine person. Cameron is a grape wine person. But they're trying to come up with better wines and willing to age them a little longer.
So like California in an earlier time, the winemakers all help each other, even though they're in competition?
I don't see us as competitors as much as we're in the same industry, and I am more than happy to help any winemaker, as is Cameron, who's here with me today.
Yeah. And for example, we've launched, the Garden State Wine Growers Association has a QWA program. It's quality management of the wines, where we have an enologist from Penn State who is actually, wineries are sending in their wineries a couple times a year, and the wineries are, we have expert panel of tasters. They're sampling the wines for any kind of technical faults to really help the winemakers in correcting any problems that are out there.
Cameron, what's your winemaking background?
Let's see. I fell in love with wine back in college, and ever since then I've played with it, but I spent 13 years in Napa Valley making wine, had a winery myself in partnership with a dear friend, which is a mistake to have a partnership with a dear friend. But I worked for Maryville Vineyards. We made Harlan Estate at the time. I worked under Bob Levy. I worked at Sinsky Vineyards as the assistant winemaker. So
a winemaker from Napa once told me the way to make a small fortune in winemaking is to start with a big fortune.
Is this a way to make
a lot of money?
No, this is a labor of love. The folks that own Unionville, I don't think I've ever seen a dollar come in that's in the black. But
sorry about
they
that.
They love it. It gets under your skin, and you have no choice but to continue.
And Jean, you're laughing.
My wife is my partner. And I'm a big volunteer, and she's the other big volunteer. We have only a few employees. Most of us, I love wine, and I love sharing.
And how did you learn how to do it?
Pretty much grandfather and neighbors. I'm Italian descent. Everybody made wine in my family. I honestly thought that everyone could make wine. It was okay.
Often when you talk about making wine, you talk about the terroir, the growing conditions, the microclimates and the such. Is New Jersey a particularly good place to grow wine grapes?
Grapes are very different from area to area.
Certainly different from area to area. Unionville has 5 estate vineyards. We have soils that range from heavily calcium fortified, there are old lime kilns on the property, to a gravelly loam. There's river rock that's been pushed up by glaciers. We have clay loam with decomposing shale.
And there's a lot of shoreline with the Atlantic Ocean, which means that you have some similarities to Bordeaux?
In a lot of ways, except they have not as many hurricanes that come up in the late part of the year. It's more of a challenge, I think.
I'm in northern New Jersey. I'm probably in, there's one
winery. You're in Sussex County?
Sussex County. And on 50 acres, my farm's only 50 acres, we have 7 soil types. And I go from loam to really heavy clay and a lot of mineral. So it's really interesting. I grow grapes on different areas just trying to see how they'll come. And I can swear it's a different grape. If I didn't plant them myself, I would think I had a different product from one area to the other. Soil's really, really important. As is altitude for us makes a difference in what we can grow. I can't do Cab Sauvignon, for example.
But you have a wine called Fratelli Ventimiglia, which combines old vines in. Do you have old vines
in? No. That Fratelli is the one of the I have 2 wines that are not New Jersey fruit.
Oh, as a plenary. You bring them in from California?
Yeah, I bring the grapes in, yeah. Those are just for my family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's really it's a family thing. I mean, Fratelli means brothers, and it's a wine my brother and I always made for the family, so I stay with that.
Cameron, Unionville Vineyards sources grapes from their 5 estate vineyards that are spread across 3 New Jersey counties.
Correct.
Do the soil profiles differ much?
Yeah, dramatically, dramatically. We have Pinot Noir planted on 4, which is a very expressive grape, and the one particular clone is radically different in all 4 sites. So
I've always wondered what determines whether you decide, this is the right soil for Pinot Noir, this is the right soil for Cabernet Sauvignon, this is the right soil for Sauvignon Blanc.
You can use historical data. Certainly there's books on the soil structures of Bordeaux. I believe they've got one out now on the soil structures of Napa. For us, I think we've had the old throw the grapevines in the ground and see what sticks method. Since we're in our infancy, we really have a lot of catching up to do, and we also have a lot of potential. And we've planted all the Syrah or all the Rhone varietals at Unionville, and I'm amazed how well they've done. We were told by numerous people that we were insane, and yet every year we produce what I would consider a very good quality Rhone.
Well, things changed in California, where initially they just grew the Bordeaux and Burgundy grapes.
Correct.
And then they started growing the Rhone grapes, and then they started growing Italian grapes. And I suspect the same thing's happening in New Jersey. You have to figure out what is best for each individual plot of land.
Exactly.
It's I'm being up in the northern part of the state. There are very few people growing grapes up there, seriously. So I've only been growing grapes for 25 years. And so I'm an amateur wine grower, and I'm constantly trying new varieties, cold climate varieties. I brought a Cab Franc today, but I also brought 2 wines that are made with hybrids that grow well in our cool climate. I think we need to introduce more of those to people. Just because they're hybrid doesn't mean they're not a nice quality wine.
When you say hybrid, you mean grapes that are indigenous to this area that are not part of the regular varietal tradition
from
Europe?
They're not traditional varieties you would know. For example, a grape called Frontenac Gris, which came out of Wisconsin, I believe. But it does really well in our cool climate in Sussex County. So I brought some grape, I brought some wines that have those types of grapes, just so you could taste something different.
Yeah. Just a hybrid is a cross between an American and a European varietal. Yeah.
Is there a prejudice that makes some people only think that the European varieties are acceptable?
I own it, but I think the idea behind a hybrid is that you get the growing characteristics of an American grape, which is disease resistant. It's resistant to phylloxera, cold hardy diseases, et cetera, and the good quality wines from the European varietals. And it works sometimes.
More than 100,000 people each year visit New Jersey's wineries. Why do you think there's been a trend to visiting wineries? Have they become entertainment centers?
It's the experience, I believe. And what I always tell people about a New Jersey winery, which is unlike other areas they can go to, is each one of our wineries are different. But the beauty is you can walk into Gene's place, you're meeting the winemaker, you're meeting the owner. Any other winery is like that in the state. And it's that intimate feel. And then each winery does something that's unique to their own territory. So there's local musicians playing. There's a local pairings with local cheesemakers and manufacturers and things of that nature. And consumers are really discovering New Jersey wines, and they go to festivals or they go to the tasting rooms, and then they start deciding, let's go out for a weekend and let's find our winery.
But you don't find too many of them in New York restaurants. Is that a problem? Do you have to break through that?
It is. It's hard. For example, we're allowed to distribute within the state of New Jersey with our own distributorship. I make 15,000 bottles a year. That's how small we are. So, I mean, our hands...
How many cases is that?
A little over 1,200, mm-hmm. something like that. So it's such a small amount that very few distributors would be interested. I'm in a lot of New Jersey restaurants, but to cross the river is a hard thing for me.
Yeah. We're about 7,000 cases, and we feel that New Jersey is essentially untapped. We have first or second highest per capita consumption of wine in the country. We don't have to go very far to sell out.
Now, why have you pretty much left the wine business and gone to hard cider? A lot of apples grow in this area.
The challenge of it, really, it's when I first was introduced to apples, I tasted a whole lot. I bought a whole lot, deconstructed them, and I found that there were very few that really excited me. What makes wine so special is this wonderful combination of fruit flavor, acid, and tannin. And current apples that are on the market lack tannin, they lack acid. We're growing older varietals that have tannin and acid, and we've found that it's actually fascinating. There's Newark's first industry was cider. George Washington used to carry cider around, and he called it the champagne of ciders. And it's really it's a challenge as a winemaker to try to create a beverage that tastes good.
But it's not the same process.
It's very similar in a lot of ways, but whereas a grape has upward of 400 flavor precursors that, depending on the soil and the slope and et cetera, can combine in different manners, apples are kind of apples. And until you go to the historic apples, there's four in particular that are known for being historically significant in New Jersey, and we've been able to capture all four of them again, and we're planting them, and we're...
What are they?
There's the Harrison, which is...
Never heard of it.
You wouldn't have. Actually, we found a Harrison tree, one of the few remaining. We thought that the natural ones or the old ones were extinct, but there's one, and I can't tell you guys where it is, but we were able to harvest some last year, and we've taken some wood from his cuttings. There's the Pauvichon, which was thought to be extinct, which we are pretty sure we found. And there's the Campfield and the Granny Winkle. And those all combined.
Now, we pretty much run out of time, but you've also brought some wines. And
yes.
This is my day for sampling wines on the air. These days come along once in a blue moon.
Lucky man, yeah.
What should I taste? And we have to do it quickly, unfortunately.
Your Chardonnay is excellent.
Well, let's try a Chardonnay. Okay. This is Pheasant Hill Chardonnay. It's a 2013. And
this area is very different from Burgundy.
It's different, and yet we have the winemaking style that we have is very similar to Burgundian, higher acids. We use neutral French oak, so we're really not letting the oak stand out.
The opposite of a California approach.
Completely. You know, I have a historical, or my background is certainly Napa, but I don't like Napa wines anymore, unfortunately.
There's some very good wines in Napa.
There really are, but...
in case anybody from Napa is listening.
Please don't shoot me.
444.
Just one more, and then I got to let you go.
I'm going to give you a little bit of Wantage White, which is all hybrids from Sussex County.
And these are hybrids. Okay.
This is hybrids, yeah. So this is a blend of three different hybrids. Like, yeah, I think so.
Sure. Thank you.
I never know that they were hybrids.
No, but it's interesting. This is
just a good wine.
It's a blend, and it's actually almost characteristic of a red. It's got a lot of things happening. Very interesting.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for being on our show. We've been speaking with Tom Casatino, director of the Garden State Wine Growers Association, Cameron Stark, winemaker formerly at Unionville Vineyards, but you still have a connection to them?
I make wine there one day a week.
And also Gene Ventimiglia, who is the winemaker at Ventimiglia Vineyards. We've been talking about New Jersey wines. And the Vintage North Jersey Wine and Food Festival will be held at the Four Sisters Winery in Belvedere, New Jersey, on August 20th and 21st, where Northern New Jersey wineries team up. Also, on September 3rd and 4th, the Garden State Wine Growers Association will be holding their wine and music experience at the Horse Park of New Jersey in Allentown. I don't know if Bruce is showing up. The event features 17 New Jersey wineries and musical entertainment. You can find more information on our show page at wmyc.org/lopate. You can also find out information about Long Island wines and their events at that same location. Thank you all so much for being on our show.
Pleasure to be here, Leonard.
Thank you.
Thank you for the support.